I want to start with a very beautiful piece from the Aruch HaShulchan. It's in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Aleph, Ois Yud Zayin. And he quotes a very interesting question from the Pnei Yoshua. And he says, the Pnei Yoshua left the question unanswered. Generally, by mitzvahs, if there's a mitzvah to be done, so everyone that's of age has to do the mitzvah. We don't say, well, the father will eat matzah, and that's enough. Everyone's yaitzeh. The father will put on tefillah, and then all the sons are yaitzeh with him. The father will pick up lulav and esrog, and everyone's yaitzeh. So why suddenly, when we come to Ner Hanukkah, do we have this unusual invention of Ner Yishu Beisam? The head of the household lights, so, and yaitzeh, goodbye. No one else has the lights. In terms of a formulation of a mitzvah, how a mitzvah is structured, it's a very unusual structure. So what accounts for it? And the Pnei Yoshua leaves it unanswered. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very, very interesting idea. I mean, I don't think it's 1,000%, you know, without some question to it, as we'll see, but we can answer the question too. And he says, we find different types of mitzvahs. We find a mitzvah like lulav and esrog, where everyone has to take their own lulav and esrog. On the other hand, we find a mitzvah such as kiya shofar, that one person blows and everybody's yaitzeh. So, how do we account for it? A shofar, we don't say, not everybody has to blow, you can listen. So what changes here? So he says the reason is the following. That, and he also, in the category of kiya shofar, that's what I was checking back, he also puts kriyas hamegillah. One person reads and everyone's yaitzeh. I guess we would have answered to those questions. Shamaya kaina. It's just a matter of shmiyah. It's not a maisa. So it's not comparable. But he says the following. He says it depends what the mitzvah is. Is the mitzvah the act or the mitzvah is the listening? A very famous shailah, Tkiya Shofar, is the mitzvah in the tkiyas, is the mitzvah in the listening to the tkiyas. So he says, principally, the mitzvah is in the tkiyas, in the listening to the tkiyas. That's principally the mitzvah. However, someone has to blow. So there is some element in the mitzvah of blowing. It's not too, but the blowing, in essence, is really just to produce the coal so everyone should hear it. The blowing is the means to the end in a certain regard. But the mitzvah, per se, is the shmiyah. He says, but Kriya Samagili wants to look at it the same way. That principally it's shmiyah Samagili, that's the mitzvah. Can't have a shmiyah without a kriya. So one person has to, somebody has to read. It's one of the places we could quibble a little bit. Because in Taisus, in Erechen, Dav Gimel, there the Gemara talks about the Mishnah of Akol Chayovim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. And this Taisus goes into a whole thing, quotes a Bahag, that women have a different chiv than men. Women have to hear the Megillah, men have to read the Megillah, so it does not exactly seem to fit in with Shitas HaBahag, the way he's putting it. But okay, the Bahag is not the only Shita. So, he says, that's the question is what you mechuyev to do. He says, by Neres Chanukah, the mitzvah is the Pursumei Nisa. That's the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is the Pursumei Nisa. The Pursumei Nisa is not in the lighting. It's in the sink, which is produced by the lighting. But again, you have to have a hadloka. So in a certain regard, it's an hadloka, it's a mitzvah, and you literally, at that moment, everything takes place. But the essence of what we're concerned about is, even when we light, is the Pursumanisa that becomes, but pops up at that second. But it's the Pursumanisa which is the point. That's why you find a very odd thing in the halacha, which will not say noyig bizmanenu, and that is Birchas Ariyah. A person that didn't have the opportunity to light Neres Chanukah, whatever the reason, is on the road, and it can't light Neres Chanukah. So he's driving hundreds of miles on the night of Chanukah. He's not sleeping any place. He has no place to light it, to light. And as he's going down the highway, he looks out the highway and he sees Leon Stern's house. And he sees the menorah burning in the window from the highway. So there's a bracha. He makes a bracha of Shasa Nisan Abaseinu and Shechiyonu. It's Birchas Ariyah. Because he says that's the essence really of the mitzvah. Good, we make a bracha on the hadlaka because you have to have a hadlaka to get to the riyah. So that's also a mitzvah. But the essence is the riyah. He says, and that's why, says it suffices if the balabayas lights. Because the lighting is really incidental to the riyah. And as long as everyone could potentially have the riyah, that's enough. You don't have to actually be involved in the bayas hadlaka. You have to kvetch a little bit in the lumdus, according to him, because the halacha is that one is yotze, even if one didn't see the neris. In other words, if you have ner yishu beisa, let's say someone wasn't home in the house that night, and in their household they lit the neris chanukah, so they're yotze, even if perchance they didn't see a menorah that night. So we have to say, I guess, according to him, that since the Re'iyah is the Iker, and everyone could potentially have the Re'iyah, so as long as there's the potential of Re'iyah, so in other words, the way we structure this, so therefore we said, whoever lights, you're already mishtatef, you're a chelik of that hadloka. Because you will be able, or you could be able, to see the Re'iyah which comes forth from it. So Mamela, since we put all the dinam and chanukah into the hadloka is a mitzvah, so since I'm considered as part of the hadloka, I'm yaitze. If I technically had the riyah, I didn't technically have the riyah. I guess we could say the following in a certain regard. What would happen if a guy lit the menorah and he kept his eyes closed? Blind. Yeah, there's no later. It's blind.
I can see that.
Right? And so, good. He still would be yaitze the mitzvah. Still would be yaitze.
He was the only person in the house?
What?
You think he was the only person in the house?
Yeah. I don't think the pshat is... The guy's not... I don't think ever the pshat is that a person is befarsam the nest to himself. I don't think that's the pshat. We'll come to those cases. I believe the pshat in all of those cases is that the persumanis is not likuva. Okay, whatever. You can look back in one of the old journals in Chabad's Chaim and have a piece where I explore this. So this is a very, very interesting insight, a very interesting spin of the Aruch HaShulchan.
Couldn't you say that it's more like, it's not exactly the same as the mitzvah of the mezuzah? It's a mitzvah on the bias.
But it's hard to hear why it should be a mitzvah on the bias. A mezuzah, the mechayev, you understand why the mechayev is, it's to not put on the doorpost of the house, that's what it is. I mean, the Neiros Chanukah, we do it in the house, but it really has nothing to do with the house. You know,
it's, the person doesn't have a house.
Okay, so he doesn't have a place to light the menorah, but it's not the house that's the mechayev. That's not the point. You know, that's one of the conditions. We would say in Lomdus, we say that's one of the conditions. You know, it's not the house that's the mechayev. The house is a mechayev and mezuzah. Yeah, mezuzah is besecha, that's the mechayev. But we wouldn't say that the house is the mechayev of Neres Chanukah. I would say it's a tenai. Since Chazal articulated that one has to light in the house, in your house, yeah, if you don't have a house, where are you going to light? I would say I'm a chuyev. I just have no means of fulfilling that chuyev.
But now the Aruch Shulchan isn't saying that Chazal or Misaki that you have to light.
That, in other words, you have to light to produce that end. So as long as there. It's, as I said, the lumdus is fine. So, but it's a very, very interesting idea that the re'iyah is such an essential part of the mitzvah that even if I didn't light, I could have the riyah. So therefore, there would really be no obligation, like an individual obligation to light.
A person theoretically be able to riyah if he triggered the lighting, but not by hand, like a mechanic, like a Shabbos clock kind of a thing. There's no.
It's a pashtus.
It's really tough to the riyah. So it's not that court. As long as there's lights that are lit for Chanukah.
So it's not Neiros Chanukah. You know, Neiros Chanukah of dinim to them. If it was lit by a gromo, a lightning lit it, it's not Neiros Chanukah. It's Neiros. So it's a very, very fascinating, approach that he has. This is in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, Ois Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. Now, how far to go with Ner Yishu Beiso? I mean, there's a chiddush to say in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. To me, it's, as I say, it's merapsa nigra. It's like it's beyond my ability to put my arms around it, you know. So, I don't believe that Rabbi Azriel was familiar with it, you know. The shaila is like this. So, we mentioned already that if person is not home, so, and they're not good. They could be yaitzei with someone in the house that lit on behalf of the entire family. So even if they're not home, they didn't hear the brachas, they didn't see the neiros, they're still yaitzei. So how far do you go with this? And a friend of mine came to me once, and he had a reason. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael during Hanukkah. And he'd leave typically, like the house, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30, go to the airport. By the time we arrived, we'd be the next day in the afternoon. So he wasn't home late enough to light here, and he'd come too late to light there. So then there's a shaila, but when he goes, his wife is going to go a few days ahead of him, she'll already be there. So, from my standpoint, I'll tell you first, they say in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I can't confirm that it's necessarily what they say in his name is, it's Ner Yishu Beiso. So his wife lit Ner Yisrael, so he's Yaitse with it. And his bias to one Eretz is Yaitse. Yeah. The idea is an unbelievable idea. Why? We'll put it in very stark terms. Tonight's the first night of Hanukkah. Okay, so the lighting, Ner Yishu and Eretz Yisrael at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. It's not
her husband is eating breakfast. He's eating his yogurt on Erev Chanukah at 10 a.m. in the morning in New York. So how's he yaitzi? The chag didn't even come yet for him.
On Friday afternoon, the first day of Chanukah, we also light before Chanukah.
That's a special din. That's because if you learn. Well, the earliest shita that we have for lighting is those that learned the Rambam that you light at Shkia. Right? That's the earliest view, that Mishatishka Chama means Shkia. It doesn't mean Tzav Shkia of Tzav Chavim, but it means Tchila Shkia. So then, on Friday afternoon, especially if you pass on like the Gainim, so you would never be allowed to light Neros Chanukah. So that means that for Erev Shabbos, they made a special Zman. That differs from every other Zman. And you're going to have to say on the other side, those that say, for example, that the din is Misha Tishka Achama, so that on Motzei Shabbos, by the time you're going to get around, they'll be after the Zman. What we do according to the sheet is that if you miss the Zman, you can't light it all. So Mukhroch to say that for Motzei Shabbos, they also made a different Zman. So from there, we can't prove anything. It's just that since it's a Dinder Abonon, so obviously they had to get out of the way of Shabbos with it. So this to me, it's just, I can't put my arms around it, how this could conceivably work. Just my head can't grab it. What can I do?
Doesn't it work? Mikala Abolo, my friend.
Listen, you're too tea for me at 8 to 9 o'clock at night. Two teeth.
You heard of the concept?
Yeah, I also went to yeshivas, yes. But as I said, it's two teeth for me at 9 o'clock at night.
I don't know what it means either.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I might be awake enough to argue with you about it, you know. But at this time of the day, it's too late for such things. Kitzur HaGom. There's another Shiloh, which is important here. It's not clearly articulated in the Shulchan Aruch if it could be Yotze with a Shliach. The Shliach is helped for the Eres Chanukah. And sort of in Svar, we would imagine that it does, but it is not clearly articulated. In the Shulchan Aruch, does not talk about the idea of a Shliach lighting for me.
What's the Shliach taking Lola for you?
What?
Shliach can shake
Lola for me. Right. A Shliach can light Ner Shabbos for me. Especially in light of the Aruch HaShulchan, that the Iker is really the Re'iyah. The Hadlok is only the Hechatimtza. Especially if we look from the standpoint of the Aruch HaShulchan.
There's only one person lighting for the house.
Let's say I'm not home. Nobody's home in my house. We're all on the road tonight. We're driving to Cleveland.
And your Shliach is...
I'll go to my house and light my menorah. So I asked Rav Azriel this, and Rav Azriel Taina that is a Ran in the first Perek of Mesochim that spells it out that you can use Shlichas. Right? There's the brachos of the road. There's a whole sugya. The first Perek of Mesochim, we have two types of brachos. We have lehadlik ner shochanak, and we have al netilas yadayim. So why we have lo and why we have als? Right? So this is a course celebre among the Rishonim. There's endless sheetus Rishonim to try to explain it. And almost inevitably, there's a few brachas that you struggle with. They just don't seem to fit into any pattern. So, but the Ran's view is that which you can do by day shliach is the lo brachas. And therefore, and he said, I think he spells out over there, like that. I think it may even be spelled out specifically Neres Chanukah that you could do Ayyadei Shliach, and therefore it's a lo. But he says the lo brochas are Ayyadei Shliach. First of all, you don't know if he had that brocha. Maybe he had a mitzvah tefillah in his sheet. Remember, it's on the left hand side of the page in the Ran. I found it. It's Davov. It's a hard worm. I didn't look back today where it is. I know also that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, his halachos and Chanukah also says he can light on the shliach. What's puzzling is that there's a tshuva, I think in the volume Ches, one of the latter volumes of the Igros Moshe, which was published posthumously, where Rav Moshe says he can't use a shliach. So I don't know the pshat in that. But Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rav Azriel, and Rav Azriel brought a raya to it. I think it's on the next page and then over there. Go down about halfway down, and there's a narrow column there, no? And you're right on the left side. I don't know if it's the same print, let me see. But I remember. I just thought I did not look back. By Klola, the Hadlok is Ner Chanukah. She'ev shall associate a shliach. The Furish Avilu Hachim Yevorchel Aleil LaHadlik. Oh, so he says the other way around. So he writes. No, he wants to say that the Al Brochus. I'm sorry, the Al Brochus are. Right, the lib brachas you can't do Ayyadei Shliach. You have to do yourself. I got it backwards. So he's there, but then he answers. When the came in the Amina Berkov and the Tzorach Lishta two for pre-trade, you have to give the Balabayas some money. You have to have your money. And it came to Chenar Yaitse Elabishal Atzmo. So But that's only partially. In other words, what he answers is the following. That really was the ha'orah that I always had. But what he says is the following. He says, if I go to your house, and let's say I'm a guest in your house, and I want to be yoytzi with you on Neres Chanukah, you can't be yoytzi. I have to have a chelek in the shemen. So that's the mishtat b'prita. We'll come back to that. So it means, in a full-fledged sense, in other words, a shliach doesn't work as a shliach works in most normal cases. You can't act just be a full shliach for me. You have a limitation. I have to have a chelek in the shemen itself. But be'etzem, in other words, as long as I have a chelek in the shemen, you can light for me. That's the blechor apparent in the run. So...
But that's when the person is there, the other person is in the house, right?
No, but he says you can... Good, that's true. But if once you can do it, ayadei shliach, so we know you could be yoytzi neres Chanukah even if you're not there. So what they suggest is the following: that if a person that's traveling, so they should set up the menorah in the house, and someone should go in bizman and light for them as their shliach.
And that would work.
And that would work, yeah.
Be even though it's not part of the, it's not the really the mishpacha of that house.
Yeah, but he's a shliach of the mishpacha.
You would make the brachas?
You could really make the brachas too, yeah, in reality.
Even if he made the brachas for himself in his own house?
You could make for them too, separately.
He's and doing that would be, not a bracha, what do you call it?
Well, when the mayel does a meal, you know, whose mitzvah is it? It's not his mitzvah, it's your mitzvah. He still makes a bracha. So, this is the run, Rabbi Yisai. So the Ran says basically that Shlichus helps with the limitation that the Mishaleach has to have his money in the game. He has to have a chelik of, he has to own oil. But as long as he owns oil also, then a Shliach can do it. So it's not fully Ayyadei Shliach. That's what he answers the Ran.
So you don't have to rely on that other situation.
So that's if you have someone that can go to your house.
That'd be better than that woman in Israel lighting for her.
Yes,
husband,
absolutely no? Better, yes. So consequently, you know, that's what I think dates. Maybe even have to look back. Maybe that's what, maybe Ramoshas also means that pure shlichus doesn't help when there is Chanukah. You need, you know, chelik in the shemen too. Maybe that's the pshat in Ramoshas. Have to look back. I'll call upon him. So we have spelled out in the Ran. The Ran basically says that shlichus works when there is Chanukah.
His second
side
doesn't dispute it.
No, the second side, I think I would learn pshat in the second to his answer that it's not considered Ayyadei Shliach because the Shliach can't do it unless it's with my mumman. So it's not, the Shlichus is a clipped Shlichus. It's a Shlichus with his wings clipped.
Because the Chedush Anshei Shem on that Aleph there says that the Nisach HaBrach is wrong. Instead of
lit,
it should be owl because it's not doable.
So, does it help if the person who's lighting in your house, who's your shliach?
Right, you see, that was his question. His question is that it should have been. He says, no, he says, the Ran took care of the problem. In other words, that's the problem. Since it's Epshalah to be Mekayim Ayyadei Shliach, how could it be Lo? So he brings the Rishalmi, says, it's an Al. He says, and the Ran answered the problem. That it's not, it wasn't put together with the brachos which he can be yitzei ayadei shliach for that reason, because it's not fully ayadei shliach. That's what I think the pshat in the Ramas. So, as I say, but the psak that they say in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I say it's too, it's just, it bends my mind. But that Neri Yishu Pesach should go so far.
I have a question. What happens, you know, we have smartphones today, and you have cameras. So you're in the airport at 5 o'clock, someone's lighting in your house, you can hear his bracha and see him light. Does that help? Or is that just nonsense?
Partially, according to most poskim, it wouldn't help, because it's merely an electronic reproduction of what's taking place. You know, this is the normative. There is, you can start to ask the shayla. Ramosha wrote that you can be yotze like Avdolah, you know, with the evidence on the Megillah or whatever on the phone. Yeah. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I never understood that. I did not understand the tshuva, in all honesty. And I know Rosh Shlomo Zalman also, in the Mincha Shlomo, one of the volumes, also says he does not understand the tshuva. But there's something there.
Huh?
There's something there.
Something there.
You know, Rav Moshe understood technical things very, very, very well.
But he didn't like it.
No, he, as I said, he said, but he could be Yotze.
Oh, he could be Yotze.
Okay, it's
a... Or somebody who's older or something.
Whatever, let's say someone's in the hospital and they can't have Abdullah, they can't have Abdullah on the phone. So...
The shliach lighting in your house, if you were already en route and you were in the plane,
yeah.
By the time it was here at Seis in New York, wherever you were was already morning time.
Well, that's something else. Don't wait so long.
Well, the departure doesn't work out.
What?
Listen,
it's usually, if you weren't home at the time, you mean if you had to leave early enough, then they're leaving early enough from here that there's enough time for the guy to light in this man and you're not going to be too far away. You know, just as a horror of what you're talking about, those of us that travel frequently notice, those that don't travel frequently are sometimes at a fault. You cannot look at your watch with New York time and decide, well, okay, I'm going to daven when it says 6:30 in the morning. Because if you do that, when it's 6:30 in the morning, you're probably near Europe someplace, and it's about noontime already. So you trash on Kriya Shema Zman Tefillah, it works, you know? You know, I was just in the plane now, and some guy, all of a sudden, you know, we're near Europe someplace, it's at noontime, and he's taking out a stalas and tefillin to start chakras. You know, it doesn't go that way. You have to, but you do really have to know what route you're taking. It's not so simple to know. Because on the way there to Seoul, so I was in Delta, so I went to ask the stewardess, when is it going to get light? Now, nowadays they have a new thing. The doors don't have windows on them, so you can't really see out through the doors. And normally you used to go to the doors and look out the doors, but the doors don't have windows. And all the shutters are closed because basically they want people to for their comfort, to sleep, to basically, you know, wake up when you're almost in Israel. It's have a long night. So they don't want any light coming into the cabin. So you can't open the shutters up to really see, know what's going on. So I went to the stewardess and she didn't know, but she said she'll ask the captain. She called the captain and the captain said he'll get back to me. He'll work on it. And then he came back and said in 33 minutes, which was about 4:30 in the morning on my watch, he says, that's where we're going to hit light. Which was later than I would have anticipated.
Can you call us on the phone? They had, what's that thing called?
The website.
You know, the Zmanim thing. Does the Zmanim thing tell you what
it is? There's a website, Ruby always tells.
But it assumes a specific route.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what route we took, you know. As I said, you don't always know what route you're going to take.
If things change, so some of them have, if you're an hour late, then it's just...
It could be off.
Yeah, whatever. I had no idea what route they were taking, and I said I was surprised by the time. I would have thought it was going to be earlier than that. So I just first, you know, so just a cautionary note when you travel, is take that into account. Don't look at your watch. Your watch's not going to help you any. Oh. So this is always the big issue. The big issue is always what happens if you're not home, you're away, you're traveling. This is if life is simple. If you're home and you come home 5 o'clock and the light in there is Hanukkah, you know, life is not exciting. You know, maybe it's the Chatchila, it's the Mahadran, but life is not exciting. No, what happens, for example, if a person is home by himself? They come home, there's nobody else home, and there's nobody else going to be home. So what do we do? When do we light? If no one, can relate. So I also wrote on this, to one of the Chofetz Chaim journals, and it's what I wrote there was what I hold lahalocha, that a person that lives by himself, or a person that's dorben anochrim, he lives in a place, you know, in Europe they called them yishuvnikas. It means there were people that lived in towns, like a couple of Jews, and the rest of the people in this tiny village were all goyim. They didn't even have a minyan, usually, many of these places during the year. And there's a whole terrace in the halacha that they were chuyif to pay to bring people there for Yom and the Rom, so there should be a minyan in the town, because Yom and the Rom can't go by without a minyan. So people lived in these tiny hick towns, and they were sometimes the only Jew that was there. There wasn't another Jew in sight. So was what Pesumanisa is there. Right, so that's one of the cases, and that's already discussed before in the Rishonim and the Riaz, that one could light in such a case, and that's despite the fact that he holds that the Pesumanis is Likuva, but that's a whole Torah why that's true. I'll call upon him, a person that lives by themselves can light the entire night till a half an hour before daybreak. They can light and make a bracha. A person that has people in the house has limitations. Once the people go to sleep, it's a whole problem. I'll call upon him. But if you live by yourself, you can light Neres Chanukah the whole night.
Why is it that?
You'll read my Torahs if you want. I'll even give you have a copy of the journal upstairs. You'll see the Maror Mekayimus, and you'll see why I came to this conclusion. But that's the... So... We have a person, if someone's home, so you'll be yotze with that person. If there's nobody home and you come home, then you can light yourself. Also, a dorben anochrim lights with themselves. So, these are a few of the possibilities.
Someone who's alone means someone who currently is alone. What if his family's away just...
Same thing. Right now, there's nobody here. Doesn't make a difference.
Normally, as much as we light in our window,
yes.
If someone's coming home like 11 o'clock at night, midnight, does it make any sense to light a window? Can you light in your kitchen where you're going to be closer to the neighbors?
The Iker in the house, let's go lock it on this. Okay. Toysus is Mechadish. The Gemara says in Baba Madlikin that this man for the nearest Chanukah is Misha Tishka Achamo. Regular the Tarmadoi. The Tarmadoi were the guys that sold the firewood. So this was the last stop you made on the way home for the night. You know, you weren't going to schlep it around the whole day. So on the way home, the last stop you made is you bought a bundle of firewood to throw into the fireplace to have some light and some heat overnight. So this was the last place to close up. A regular de Tarmadoi. So, Tosra says that this Zman is not relevant bismaneno. In one Teretz in Tosra, there are two Terutzim in Tosra. But in one Teretz, Tosra says this Zman is not relevant bismaneno. Why? Because, unfortunately, we have to, in his time, he already had to be Mekayim. The third day of the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rebbe Chas Hakonos Menicha Al Shulchanu B'Dayim. It was not the wise, for varied reasons, to put the menorah outside. So they lit the menorah inside. So he says, the Ika Pursu Menisus for the Bnei Habayis. So Mameila depends when the Bnei Habayis are around. This was Tosis Chiddush. Tosis changed the whole equation. That is touches your shayla also. Let's say I can light, put in the window, it'll be good for the people outside the house. But that window is in a place where the people in the house don't go. It's the window that faces the street, but it's not in the main room in the house. So, if you were lighting in the time of the Gemara, so yeah, you were supposed to put it in the window. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you put it in your window. But if you live in Chutz La'aretz, But the Iker, Pesumanisus, for the B'nai HaBayis, so you should put it in a place in the house which has the most traffic. If you're able, it simultaneously to fulfill the din of the street also, as Matoy V'manon. But the Iker, and that's the way we paskin, the Iker LaHalocha, is for the B'nai HaBayis. That's why we're a lot more flexible with this man, this manenu. Because we articulate this bug, is where the greatest number of the members of the household are assembled. That's this man that we light. If they're not assembled at this man 5 o'clock, we don't light at that time, we light later. So, it also touches another shayla. This is, I've had a long running debate with someone. But I believe I had a raya, from the Sefer Rokeach, I believe. But the shaila is like this. When we say you light the neiros, right, you start on the right and you keep adding to the left, and you light from left to right. So from which side do you consider? From the side facing outside or the side facing inside? So I have a long running debate with someone. He lights for the right side facing outside.
That's not what the
Belt
does, right?
What? No, Rilam doesn't do that. But that's what this person does. So I have a long-running debate with them, and I tell them, no. Since the Iker Pesumanis is for the B'nai HaBayis, then you should light it where it faces inside. In the Stavron Eretz Yisrael, it's the other way around. You probably should light for the facing outside, because the Iker Pesumanis is for the outside, not for the inside. So in other words, you should light it with your back to the street, in effect, and then start from your right then. But it's in here in Chutz La'aretz, we're riding for the B'nai HaBayis, so you should have your back facing the street and start on the right and your right. So there are kama v'kama halochas.
So when you're inside the house, you're riding from the right to the left, no?
You're facing the street and you're starting from the right, and you make each additional one you're adding to the left, and then you're going from left to right as you light.
From right.
In addition, later nights are going from left to right.
From left to right, right, yes. Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, you manage.
That's for the inside.
Yes, because we're lighting right. For the inside. Now there is a Ramah. The Ramah says toiv to be makbid on this man bismaneno. Now this is in the Bir Halacha writes that the reason for this is because you'll get persumen isa for the people outside too. The only problem with this, the Ramah in the Dark Emotion, two places, it's in the Shulchan Aruch also, says that in his time, in 16th century Krakow, they lit bifnim mamish, meaning they did not light near the door, as the door was a little bit open and you were able to see it. There was a stage, depending on the external intolerance. There was a time that we lit outside. There was a time that we lit inside, just inside the door, and the menorah was still a little visible from the street. And then the intolerance reached a crescendo, both by the Arabs and by the Jews, you know, by the Arabs and by the Christians. And in both sets of societies, we moved the menorah totally inside. We'll come back in a minute that it was true by the Sephardim too. Don't think that the Sephardim lived in such peace with the Muslims, that only the Christians were troublesome. So in 16th century Krakow, the Ramah writes, in two different places in the Dark Emotion, they lit the Fnei Mamish. It was not visible outside. So it's hard to say that that's the toiv of the Ramah, because people outside are going to see it, when he was lighting in a place where nobody saw it outside. So in Aruch HaShulchan, and that's the Chayra L'chayr poshut pshat in this Ramah, Taisus has two terutzim. Taisus, the one mahalach, the first mahalach in Taisus is that even bizman hazeh you have to light at the same time. Chafala from a base. So that stems from the fact that Taisus holds it was a takana of this man. It's not as mishat tishka achama, light inside, light outside, light where you want, but there's one takana. It's not a separate takana with separate parameters. Taisus mechadish in the second teretz, that lighting inside is a whole new halacha. It's as Brisk would say, you know, it's a different din. It has its own dinim to it. Its own time that you light, its own place that you put the menorah, whatever, it's a whole store, 9 yards to it. So the Pashtas and the Ramah is to be machmor for the first sheet of Tosfos too. that Tosfos says that this man remains the same even b'zman hazeh.
The people, those that light outside, should they also light inside, or are they?
They're not asking me, so you know. No, I don't think they have to also light inside.
Because you say the Iker Mitzvah is inside.
Good. They decided. They're real Americans. They celebrate the freedom of religion in America, and the First Amendment. You know, George Washington wrote a letter to the Touro Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island, assuring them of, you know, that the government has a favorable notion of, you know, of religion and the freedom of religion, etc.
The rub doesn't hold from lighting outside. Is that right?
That is true.
Okay.
You know, I have one thing to say about lighting outside. When they don't
the
show
Eretz
Yisrael, that's something else. I don't know. That's fine. If you do, but when you show me that the Gedolei Olam in America lit outside, they'll talk about it. Until then, I'm not interested in talking about it. I think that they have a wiser, long term view of what's sound and what's not sound.
Jewish neighborhoods, like around, let's say, Lee Avenue in Williamsburg.
Listen, there, Haraya, you see, listen, none of the Hasidim light outside, basically.
They have the Holy Sister light by the door.
What?
The Holy Sister light.
Okay,
door,
but that's
door.
Also for another night. What? But
that's. Light by the window.
Yeah, but I'll call upon him, but that's. So that's certainly a part of the lighting. That way you do that when you're lighting for inside, not when you're lighting. When you're lighting for outside, the Imara says maybe you put it to Bishul, you put it to, in the Chalon. Because they're lighting for the inside of the Hasidim. So now we're kind of the dinner to Gemara to put it next to the door. And we don't, just because the doors are shaped the way they are, it's really hard really to put the menorah in such a place the right way. That's the reason we're not makbid about that din. But our kaponim, you see clearly the Hasidim Bey's view is to light for inside, not for outside.
But if you're not lighting by the door, would it be perhaps better in those type of areas where there's very few going to light outside?
Listen, let the Rabbonim of those type of areas, as I said, we haven't seen that the Rebbes and the Rabbonim in that area articulated such a halacha to light outside. Even the Rebbes don't light outside. And the Rebbes are certainly not going to have a problem lighting outside, because no one's going to start up with them and Eben Eiru when there's 100 Hasidim standing around it. And Avo Pike, and none of the Rebbes light outside. I've yet to see or hear of a Rebbe in America that lit the Neiru's Hanukkah outside. Because I think that they have, in that regard, a healthy understanding of where we're at and how we have to act, and what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. Oh. Touch a little bit the Rei HaGadol. There's a long-term debate of what's the essence of Hanukkah. Was the essence of Hanukkah the Nes of the Neiros, or a victory in the Melchama, defeating the Yevonim? What is this Yom Tov about? And you can find people, great people, and all the Duras that took different sides on this issue. The Maharal Prague says that undoubtedly the Chag is about the victory in the Melchama. That's the position, he spells it out clearly. He says, so the question then is, why didn't they celebrate immediately? The Gemara says they enacted Hanukkah a year later. So if you celebrated the Nes of the Menorah, so obviously until after the Nes of the Menorah happened, you couldn't enact the Yom Tov, so that would be next year. But if we're celebrating the military victory was now. And Purim, they didn't wait till next year. They defeated Haman, and the next day they partied. Okay, then they made it a kfiyas, l'dairus, that's something else. But right away, they celebrated. So what took them a whole year to enact Hanukkah if it was a victory in a Melchama? So, the Maharal Prague writes something remarkable. They were not convinced that it really reached, I guess, the level of a clear-cutness. It was Teva's an S too, but that it surpassed the boundaries of Teva, they were not convinced. And therefore, they were not going to, you don't make a yontif unless you're celebrating an S. How did they become convinced? They became convinced when they saw the Ness of the Menorah. Then you start to think, you know, the Rabbeinu was lurking. The Ness of the Menorah we can't explain away. That's not in Derech HaTeva. It didn't happen. So if the Rabbeinu was out to do Nisim, what other Nisim is he out to do? So then they examined the warfare and they decided that that was a Ness too. That's a Ness. We'll celebrate that next year. You know, now that we're convinced that it's a Ness, we'll celebrate it in future years. It's difficult to see a Ness. We are attuned, and we must be attuned to the Derech HaTeva, to the natural order of the world. You know, everything that we do has to follow a natural order. If you want to succeed in a business, so you have to know how many people in this area are interested in what you have to sell. So you're going to go and move next to the equator, and you're going to sell sleds and snowsuits, you know. You know, now maybe it happens to be one year there'll be a super snowstorm over there for some reason, and it'll corner the market. There will nobody else that have sleds and snowsuits. And you charge $100 for every snowsuit, and you'll be rich. But I wouldn't advise you to build your business plan on that happening. You want to sell snowsuits and sleds, you open up in Maine, the place that you know up in Derech HaTeva, you're going to have a good bit of snow throughout the winter. A farmer doesn't plant. There's a season to plant. He doesn't say, I'll plant 3 months later, 3 months earlier, and say, I hope for the best. You know, when Eliot made chemical reactions in his laboratory, there are formulas that you follow on how these things work. You just don't take five things off the shelf and mix them together and say, okay, let's hope for the best, you know. The best being that you don't blow yourself up, number one, and number two, that maybe actually something good comes out of what you do. It's not the way you do things. This world we run up in Derech HaTeva. It's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants of us. When the Rebbeinu Shem told him, Zeyas HaPecha Teuch HaLechem, and we are supposed to be involved in this world. This means according to Derech HaTeva, the way things work. That's so we're attuned very much to seeing the world and understanding the Derech HaTeva of the world. And therefore it's very hard to integrate a Ness, to say something miraculous happened. So only after the Ness of the Menorah took place, and that they couldn't dismiss, there was just no way to account for that, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, did they first come to understand the depth of the nest that they had experienced, that this was a nest that we have to celebrate. As the Gemara in Erechin says, we recite halal on a chag, and we recite halal on for a nest. Here it's not a chag, there's no din mikra kodesh, it's not because of the nest we recite halal. And this is one of the great messages of Hanukkah, and it's has to inform our entire Avodas Hashem. We live at a time where secular values in the world around us are very strong. There probably has been no point in American history where religious values were at such a low ebb. You know, someone was telling me that, you know, we turned the clock back 30 years back. So when a normal couple got married in the United States, the greatest percentage of people are Protestants. And there are about some 160 Protestant denominations in the United States, 163. There's over 160 Protestant denominations. So always there was a big negotiation about what religion would be in the house and how the children would be raised. This was always a matter of how to be negotiated. They told me today, no negotiations needed anymore. This was not a Presbyterian, this was not a Lutheran, so it's, you know, I have a family that I came from, it's not Togei Lamaisa. So Mamela, there's no Dian about it anymore. It doesn't come on in the world. And we are from the more religious societies in the Western world. You go to Europe, it's altogether a disaster area. I mean, the houses of worship, the non-Jewish houses of worship, are empty. There's some figure like 11% of the people ever show up in one of them. So we live in a very, very secular age. And it affects us. We are affected in every society. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid already noted this by the non-Jewish mores. And therefore, amuna, awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, does not come easily. It does not come naturally. 100 years ago, our great-grandmothers, they didn't need to read the Chayvus HaLevavos, they didn't read Musa Shmuz, and amuna was a reality. That was life. Do we know the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening? It was amuna. That's it. It's just by the same definition. Why? Because they lived at a time where internally the Jewish people and externally the world around us was very in tune with amuna. I have a point of reference to me. If you want to see how much the world has changed, go to the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln in 1864. It's one of my favorites. And basically, he talks about the cost of the war, the effects of the war, the destruction of the South. And how does he view the destruction of the South? So that it shouldn't be chayt in iska. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam saw that they should not gain from their ill-gotten gains. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grounded all into nothingness. Could you imagine the President of the United States giving such a speech today? The derision with which he would be met? So what changed? We're not the ones that changed. It's the world around us that changed. We're still holding in the same place. Baruch Hashem. So what we lack in our avodas often is awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That we stand in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. That we act to respond to the tzivui, to the command of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We live in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's world. That's one of the struggles of our age, to see that clearly. Not so clear. It's clouded. And Chanukah is really one of the lessons, one of its major lessons is it's not always so easy even to see a nes. Not so easy. But if we are tuned in and we see the wondrous things that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does do in this world, then they start to open our eyes to examine everything else in this world, what it's about. And I'm a very, very big believer in what the Yaivet said. The Yaivet said, if we see the survival of Klal Yisrael and Atayra and the Golos, those are Nisim which transcend the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And I'm an absolute believer in it. I don't know why, but at a very young age, like teens, late teens, I became a student of the Holocaust. And I read very, very extensively on the Holocaust. And if Klal Yisrael today could be holding, we were holding, after what we experienced 70, 80 years ago, then the nisim of our survival are greater than the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. May the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grant that we find that inspiration in the Chag, the inspiration of the awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that should inform all our actions and all our understanding of everything in life, to be acutely aware of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.